Idam Guru Namana Loka Niyataya Neya Sangha Jeyajana Kone Jomama Jajoma Dhanaya Chamsu Jeyatame Chujo Jebe Sunam Jeyatame Dolava Pesha Sanje Lupar Yo Sangha Jeyajana Kone Jomama Jajoma Dhanaya Chamsu Jeyatame Dāgī jīgī jībī sūnum Dōlā pēśī sāngjī rūpār Yō sāng jī
jīdā sūjī sūnum Sāngjū
bādhū dāni shab sūjī Dāgī jīgī jībī sūnum Dōlā pēśī sāngjī rūpār Yō Majunang kita tanya, sehingga tanya je tuan tu. Tujuh lama mereka yang dah berjuang sehingga je kumpar membeli ni je topper syagur. Tiap topper syawi cedo, tapi cewa rumput je sehingga mereka belum sehingga je sembuh. Sehingga sembuh guan sembuh tu.
We must strive to accomplish complete enlightenment. For the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother sentient beings, with that kind of altruistic motivation or bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching. We have all taken interest in spirituality or Dharma, and I also feel that it's very important for us to often consider and reflect upon the reasons why we need to cultivate spirituality or we need to cultivate Dharma.
Penas that genius and bent to you and bending in a tiller, Pope Shagro, but then Cotini, till the Hats pay Bank of Iosle, Matevas, Presenter. Calling is a Jagina, and Nick Carasota. Then that came with a marvelous in
Angus. Let me give you a simple example to illustrate my point here. If we are taking part in an archery contest, so we know what's the purpose behind this competition or the contest. It is to be able to, you see, win the award or the prize, and the way we do that is if we are going to shoot our arrow right into the target. Okay, so which means we must know what's the goal or the target, where is it, right? We are not going to shoot an arrow randomly, you know, hoping that it will hit somewhere, you know. So in the same way, we must be really kind of a clear with our goal or the purpose of cultivating a spirituality.
That's how much we need to get around somebody. How much we need to do it. Don't get mad by you. They are you to take something mentors to some of you.
So I personally feel that all of us are probably thinking about the reasons, you know, why we are in Dharma is we do not wish for any suffering, and we want to get rid of suffering, and we would like to find genuine peace and happiness.
That the legacy on the donor, but that I can be yours. In that the legacy on the average, which in the sound of the shiny. That me, she have a teaching to some the next year of the data. She and Tamta, the little Chinese. That will be at the next year to Jalam your kid. Not the next year, and that and no teach him each other.
So we have that much sort of a mindset, if you will, that okay, we are cultivating Dharma. because we want to get rid of suffering and we want to find true happiness. Although that seems to be very generic, if you will, rational, but that's okay, you know. So at least we got some sense of the purpose of Dharma. But if we even do not have that much, you know, we're just kind of, you know, following Dharma because so many other people around us seem to be doing that. So we're just kind of boarding the train with them here, and we don't know where it leads to. And all that we are, you know, following Dharma for some ulterior motives, that we want to become, you know, famous, you know, or that we are going to be able to, amass a lot of gifts and, you know, things from other people through Dharma, that is all wrong. You see, with such ulterior motives, if we engage in Dharma, we are not doing it for the right reason and with the right motivation.
So that kyo dhubi chan ta, kyo dhubi ak ta, chumdhubi te, raan ta ye nyi butir ta, miya ki ngeva samtangula.
We must, you know, have in our mind that the outcome of our Dharma practice or spiritual cultivation is in order to, you know, share it with the other sentient beings. In other words, we are practicing Dharma to benefit both self and others. So let me elaborate a little bit on the point I just made. Now, when we look within the framework of the Four Noble Truths, in the Buddha's first teaching, so for our own sake, if we say that, okay, Buddha talked about true suffering, true cause of suffering, you know, true cessation of suffering, and true path leading to that cessation. Okay? And for my own sake, I don't want true suffering. And I don't want the true cause of suffering. Okay? So those are the two truths that I don't want. Right? So it is for that reason, I want to be free from suffering and its causes. For that reason, I'm going to practice Dharma. Well, that is also a good reason, meaningful reason. So for one's own personal, you know, reason, that is a perfectly good reason. You know, it's meaningful. But then it is also very limited in the scope, if you say. You know, if we don't think about what all other sentient beings would like to have, or we don't have them in our picture at all, just think only about ourselves, then you can see that it's a very limited scope here. Okay. And from a higher you know, perspective or ideal level, then there's something, you know, not right about this.
Ta kare yinse na sengi ye chamalo ra kang di chim chalo ra ng dra yinse dangi person chamalo ra ng kadi chim chalo ten zu ni dung ge ne le pe nyang ne koi ta ja so ko nan hu ne an ten zu nyang le zu pe mi zan ma ta ra ngo kang te shen xie be na ma ra zu ta chime le chalo ra.
So when we consider our, you know, karmic connection, if you will, with all sentient beings, and how all sentient beings have been, very kind to us in many different ways. So when we say all sentient beings, we literally mean all, right? All would include our friends, strangers, and enemies, what we normally, you know, label them as. So all includes all sentient beings, and as a matter of fact, all of them have been very kind to us in many different ways. And now when we look at their situation, while they are, metaphorically speaking, kind of drowning in this ocean of suffering or samsara, and if we let them kind of sink into this ocean, right, as if, you know, it's like none of our business, you know, we are very indifferent to them, okay, whatever the hell happened to you. Well, Geshe-la didn't say hell, but to make my point here more clearly, Right, and then kind of only say, okay, I need to get myself out of this whole situation, problematic, and I don't really care what happens to all other here. That's very unbecoming, you see. And I mean, if this is a big moral question also, is that really ethically, you know, feasible to do thing? That, you know, just leave everybody suffer here, and I'm going to kind of sneak out, if that's possible, you know.
Sometimes. Tā, kārī shikuru sa nā, rāntaṁ yīn chī tēndu, dīnyibu tēnyibu tī, tōndāyibu tī nruyā chē tu, tā chū nāpa tāpa chū dhū yīn sāmi tā sāmi tī, nīpa tāṁ nukāsī.
So the bottom line is this, that when we engage in spirituality or practice dharma, we always keep in our mind that is it by practicing dharma, we are taking care of, or at least we are able to, you know, we are thinking about how can we best benefit both ourselves and all other sentient beings?
No.
Of course, there is nothing more important than practicing Dharma or cultivating Dharma, right? We cannot emphasize enough the need to put Dharma into practice or cultivate it. But as much as we talk about practicing Dharma, again, we really need to emphasize, you know, what we call pure practice of Dharma. We really need to practice so that what we are practicing is really Dharma and it's not something else. You see, not in the disguise of a Dharma. We feel we are practicing, but we're really not. Okay, and that's really a big, thing we should be concerned with. As Geshe-la was trying to say, that you know, if we are making a movie on how people practice Dharma, right, we can really direct a wonderful movie, and people who are acting in this, probably they would look extremely good in the way they play their roles. You know, they seems to be really practicing well, they're very dedicated and devoted and all that. But the fact of the matter is all fake. They're just faking it all out, right? They're just playing the role, you know. And even if it looks so nice and so pious and so Dharma-like, well, the real, you know, point is, it's not Dharma. It's just kind of a, you know, they are, not the right, you know, proper word to say, just to make my point, it's a monkey business, right? You're just kind of doing monkey business here. So that's not Dharma. So we do not want to put ourselves in a similar situation where it looks good, we look like Dharma practitioner, looks good, and, you know, the appearance is all Dharma, but in substance, there is no Dharma. Okay. So that's why we, each of us really need to consider this point. How can we direct our mind into Dharma? How can we get our mind involved in Dharma? There should not be disparity between our mind and the Dharma. Otherwise, we are probably more like faking it out. So we must not get confused between the real Dharma, which is a substance, and the appearance of a Dharma, which is reflection. Okay, don't confuse the reflection of a Dharma for Dharma. So as you can see how important for us to you know these things, you know, the differences between, you know, what is what look like a Dharma, and what is the real Dharma? What is the reflection of the Dharma? What is the true Dharma in substance? So when we look at Buddha's teaching, which is called Dharma or spirituality, we can find two dimensions here. One is what we call scriptural dimension. Lungichu is the oral transmission. It is the teaching, you know, oral. And then there is the realization dimension. you know, which is more, so to speak, a substance, you know, which is the real content of Buddha's Dharma or teaching. From another point of view, if we are going to summarize, if you will, the entire teaching of Buddha, you know, in two dimensions, then we can talk about the three baskets of Buddha's teaching, or the Tripitikas in Sanskrit, right? The three containers. So three containers is, as a matter of fact, the scriptural dimension of Buddha's teaching, what Buddha actually taught. Okay? Then we have the three higher trainings, okay, training in, you know, three higher, like a training in high ethics, higher concentration, and higher wisdom. These are the realization dimension of Buddha's teaching, or the real content, you know. If we were asked, what is the subject matter of the three baskets, Tripitikas? Well, the subject matter of the three baskets, the real substance in the pot, is the three higher trainings. So we have to educate ourselves through study and teaching in the three baskets, or the Tripitikas, and so then we need to cultivate or put into practice the three higher trainings, the real substance, right? And through this path, these three higher trainings constitute spiritual paths that we cultivate inside us. What we are trying to do is basically we are trying to subdue our deluded state of mind. We are trying to bring about this inner positive transformation within ourselves. So what is wrong if we let our mind remain unsubdued, you know, deluded as it is? Okay, so what's the big deal about that? You know, why do we have to talk about subduing our mind, you know, pacifying our mind, and all of that? Is, you know, when we let our mind remain in an unsubdued, you know, mood, if you will, a deluded mood, then all kinds of misery and problems that we encounter in samsara comes out of that. Okay? We humans have our own, you know, set of problems and suffering. All of these are due to our unsubdued state of mind. And the beings in the three unfortunate states of rebirth, you know, have even more intense suffering because of unsubdued state of mind. And the divine beings, or the celestial beings, who are in a higher state of existence within samsara, well, they've got their problems and issues to deal with, which are basically because of unsubdued state of mind. And how it really works out is, when our mind is deluded and unsubdued, then it let us do negative karmas or contaminated karmic actions. While these contaminated karmic actions, combined with the motivating factors of the delusions, lead us to all kinds of misery and suffering. Okay? So that is the formula, how we get into suffering, right? Delusion plus the negative actions equal to the suffering. And that's how it is in any part of samsara. So if that is the perfect kind of a equation that leads to the suffering, you know, we understand, then subduing our mind is really of prime importance here. So when we talk about subduing our mind, or taming our mind, as some people like the word taming better than subdue here, we can talk about many different methods here, right? There are the ones with really primary methods, and then there are the secondary methods to do that.
Yes.
So we could be engaging in many forms of spiritual practice, such as making offerings, doing prostrations, you know, doing prayers, and all of those, you see. Yes, these are all forms of spiritual practice, but these are not the primary means or the methods, you see, to tame or subdue our mind. At a really higher level, that, you know, cultivating love, cultivating compassion, and practicing Tonglen, the practice of giving and taking, all of these are spiritual practices, but again, these are not the primary methods to subdue our mind.
Rang the same thing go nyam patan ye nyomo ba ye ta rang the same thing ta nyomo tre yung yar sten zo bang go ne ya ki ma to chawa ni me ba zo thu ya ma ni.
So when I say these are spiritual practices but not primary methods of the practice, what I mean to say is that by cultivating love, compassion, and Tonglen practice, so on, that we may be able to temporarily, you know, prevent delusions from arising in our mind, okay? And so in that sense, it's working. But these practices cannot and do not help us uproot delusions from within our mind. Still, delusions remain intact inside, okay? Maybe they are temporarily shut down somewhere. Well, they are there, so they can come back anytime. So love, compassion, and the Tonglen practice are not the primary practice or the method to tame or subdue our mind.
That day, maybe Zosa, that maybe Zong, maybe Zoya, that, Zora, Zong King, Zora, that Zong King, Zong King, Zong King, Zora, that is not damage of his head.
So, as I often emphasize and explain it to you, that the primary means of the method or the practice to uproot delusions from within our mind is to cultivate the wisdom realizing selflessness.
So cha ta ne driba dele driba ni yors driba ni buti ene tsawa ni meba zol ta dame to vehere de ranjul che gu gares.
Categorically speaking, there are two mental obscurations, tiba. And in order to uproot them, the two mental obscurations, we must cultivate the wisdom realizing selflessness.
Karin sena shamba ta ni ji tzu ta tzu ani ran ran da kar se bro ran ji le pi dang ji tzu dang ji tang lu sing ge yu ma so ji tang ge tu yu ma.
So if you ask how come, you know, love, compassion, bodhicitta, all these wonderful, you know, attitudes, how come they, cannot uproot self-grasping? Okay? But when we really investigate how do we grasp at self, the mode of the apprehension of the self, right? And how do love and compassion, etc., relate to sentient beings, or they perceive sentient beings in some sense, their modes of apprehension are very different. Okay? So because of that, love and compassion do not become direct antidotes to self-grasping. All the things that we don't want, and which we may label misery, suffering, problem, whatever, they come from grasping at self. Grasping at self is ignorance. And it is from this kind of ignorance, we can call it ignorant conception of grasping itself, but don't make me repeat this 10 times in my translation, that will be tongue twister, but that's really technical translation there. From this particular grasping arises all other forms of delusion, attachment, anger, and so on.
So that
So it's due to these delusions right at the bottom, it is the base delusion, if you like it, self-grasping, and then from it arises other forms of delusion. So when delusions pop up in our mind, then they really dilute our way of thinking, okay? And then they lead us into doing all kinds of negative and wrong actions, which lead to the kind of problems we don't want.
So that
So if we identify grasping as self as the root delusion, it's the real culprit, and if we need to get rid of it in order to get rid of all other delusions, and that's the only way we can be free from our delusions for good, then what is the real antidote to uproot that grasping, you ask? Then the antidote is nothing but the wisdom realizing selflessness. But I want to clarify this one more time, that I don't want you to have in your mind that, okay, then the only thing I need to do is cultivate the wisdom realizing selflessness, and really I don't need to think too much about love and compassion, all that, okay? Well, those are wonderful practices, and we need to cultivate love and compassion. What I'm saying is theoretically speaking, love and compassion, they can temporarily stop delusions from arising in our mind, but they cannot stop them forever, see? And they do not become the real antidotes to our grasping at self. The real antidote is the wisdom realizing selflessness. The importance of cultivating positive attitudes such as love and compassion could be understood in terms of how we need to collect accumulation of merit. It's a positive energy, punya, right? So in order to accumulate punya, merit, then love and compassion in practice become extremely powerful practice. You know, as a matter of fact, as I was explaining to you at many different times, that we really need to, practice the two types of accumulation together. We need to accumulate merit, but we also need to accumulate wisdom. If we have love and compassion for other sentient beings, then if we really truly care about others, right, we cannot hurt them. I mean, there's no way, when we love sentient beings, honestly and truly, and we have so much compassion for them, we are not going to do anything to hurt them. And in that sense, love and compassion are very precious states of mind. So as much as I'm emphasizing that, how the wisdom realizing emptiness is the direct antidote to self-grasping, right? And if we need to uproot the delusions, that's what we need to cultivate. I do not mean in any sense to undermine the importance of other practices, particularly love and compassion and bodhicitta. Okay? Here's what I want to say. That in order for us to become a Buddha, complete enlightened beings, we must cultivate bodhicitta, bodhisattva's attitude, right? There's no other way around that. That is what we need to do. But in order to cultivate bodhicitta, we must cultivate great love and great compassion, because these are the primary causes leading to bodhicitta. So as now you can understand that great love, great compassion, bodhicitta are the attitude that we must, right, underline it, cultivate along with the wisdom realizing
selflessness.
Krishnas. Our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha himself said it, originally, how the wisdom realizing selflessness is the antidote to cut off or cut out self-grasping.
Yes. Dingi jabin doing with that. Don't buy your shell, maybe some hip in the watching. Sinking a call at Cham Guy at the end, some bottom when you tend to matto be one key and it chamber his canon.
I think it was in the King of Concentration Sutra called Samadhi Raja Sutra, thing is in Gyabudo in Tibetan. And Geshe-la quoted lines from his memory. He said, sentient beings are wandering in samsara just because they have not realized tongba, emptiness, shiva, peace or pacification, and kewa mebetsu, the nature of what is called unproduction. Of course, this needs explanation, so I'm just not giving teaching here. So, because sentient beings have not realized these things, so they are wandering in samsara. Bodhisattva Mahasattva Shantideva has also said that of the whole list of realities, the most important reality that we must understand is emptiness. So when we look at the 16 attributes or the characteristics of the Four Noble Truths, right, each truth has four attributes, okay, and there are 16 of them. The most important attribute is that of emptiness. And as Geshe-la quoted again another statement from memory, which says that by seeing emptiness, you can liberate yourself. All other aspects or the attributes are secondary. They are kind of a complementary, if you will, auxiliary points, if you will. Jirumbuchi or Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa has also said that emptiness is the essence of Buddha's teaching.
Tongbanyi tuende mato na ya tongbanyi singe tsa chimbu shibu shi re a kande chingi na te chingi ngabai to na am sani tende ke tesum chibu sabi yena ya ane siva tipe tsabri zogu ya res kani. Jasi chan parse pobala gijan pa na songduwa.
Great Indian master Aryadeva, who is the main disciple of Aryanagarjuna, states in his 400 stanzas on middle path called Chetuksheda Shibyaba, let alone realizing emptiness as it is, if one were to have what we call a doubt inclined more towards what emptiness really is, we can call it a conducive doubt or favorable doubt. It's not the kind of doubt you think about, okay, whatever, you're just way off the track, not that kind of doubt. But kind of doubt, I think that's what emptiness is. We are really inclined towards what emptiness really is. We don't know it yet, but still have some doubt. But that kind of doubt is so powerful to kind of shatter, if you will, the world of samsara.
So that tendered it and so on a quality of your Sanji Combato with the Tomalo, the quality of it top down. On the Sanji Combat that day, the top to Tomaluta, like it on the head of Ranga, Sanji and cut nine your day or rest. You know, top the Rangi never say any top till a tenny to top a toy at town, Sanji Combat the Ranga Dungu, Dungi the Radis.
So our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha has taught all different paths and practices leading to different spiritual states, be it nirvana or liberation, or be it complete enlightenment. Yeah. Now, so to speak, he has done his job, right? He has shown us the path, you know, he has taught everything, you know, we needed to know. Now it's up to us as individual practitioners to decide, you know, what spiritual goal or the state I want to accomplish, and what path or the practice leads to that state, and I need to cultivate it, follow that, see? So it is our responsibility as practitioners to adopt the path leading to whatever spiritual goal we have chosen for ourselves. So if we try to kind of lay bare what Buddha has really taught, you know, kind of putting aside all the technicalities and all the stuff, what did really Buddha teach, right? What really Buddha taught was that, you know, we need to get rid of all the negativities and defilements from our mind, okay? And how to do that? He has shown us the means or the method to do that. And we need to cultivate all the positive qualities. You know, whatever good thing and attainment is there that we need to accomplish, he has shown us the way or the means to do that.
So tang aran chama loke sin dewa saya this sin jin le tin saya ta ya kun ju le tin saya ni yo le cha cha tu nge ba ge zen ja ya ko shi te khe ba shi te ta dewa sa se ye le ne ba shi no ta ti dewa dewa le cha lo ge yen pa ba ji do ge na mu ne do ne ge pa ba ji cha ge do na ta te ge le cha ge ro ba te le la ba ji chan ton tu se ro ba shi.
So if we are to stop negativities, purify ourselves of negativities, don't do any of that kind, then how do we find ourselves, you know, creating a lot of negativities, if you wonder, right? In the broadest thing, there are two ways we do that. We create negativities in relation to sentient beings, right? That's how through we interact with them, or we relate ourselves to them, and in that way we create a lot of negativities. We also create negativities, you know, relating to holy objects of the beings. You know, we can call them the triple gems or the Buddhas and all that, right? So it is in relate, you know, by way of relating to sentient beings and holy beings that we find ourselves creating a lot of negativities. So what do we mean by negativity? Usually negativity has something to do with hurting. Never. When we harm others, any action that harms others is a negativity. Any action that truly benefits others is a positive action. So that is a prelude to our, you know, this morning I want to share those thoughts. I thought that would be beneficial to all of us, and now we will return to our text.
Ani reading gomba dala yang drop so ani zoge ani sanji gomba to ya ta ani tabe gomba to ya che de do sin ni ju ni de yo res ta ngi ge ta ga nang che ge is
no
ani taba ta sanji mi gomba to ya ge tab de kane ji na ta kura zo kare nang mi na ti ting ngul ting kan na ro na si kan ju sung as ani nge ma ta chwa ti chi.
So remember that you know, we have for the last couple of weeks dealing with great Dhammadhamma's statements in response to the questions being posed by the two cousins. You know, they happened to be visiting the, I think, Reading Monastery. They saw this large gathering of monastics there, and then they said, "Oh, great master, we see this large gathering of monastics, and we know why they are here. They're all seeking nirvana, enlightenment, and we too would like, you know, to find nirvana and enlightenment. So therefore, kindly explain us, you know, the way to do that."
Tita ani gishi temba donte jawin juni la chorang la ani pande ati kyoji pande ande kya ke dangwa kante ki rai na te moning ni la naro na.
And then I also requested great Dhammadhamma that we know you have received this complete lineage teachings from the great Indian master Atisha. So whatever you have received from him, be kind to transmit or to give us that teaching, you know, to share that teaching with us. So I think I gave a pretty detailed explanation of the statements Great Domtapa made in response to their request. And now I'm just going to simply, how to say, go over the main points. So Great Domtapa said, you should meditate on death and impermanence of life, and you should meditate a lot on the working of law of karma and its outcomes or results. And I complimented my commentary on that, bringing ideas from the Lamrim treatises. And the next, the Great Domtapa said that whatever vows and commitments that one has pledged to keep, we should keep them pure and intact. And then Domtapa said that we should, meditate a lot to cultivate love and compassion. And then he said that we should cultivate bodhicitta that has not yet been cultivated in our mind, and then also practice means and the methods to stabilize bodhicitta once we have cultivated it. And then relating to that statement, I explained to you the two dominant, if you will, meditational techniques to cultivate bodhicitta. One is called six causes and one result technique, and other is called equalizing and exchanging self for others. So we went through that already. And in order to reach complete enlightened state or to become a Buddha, we must fulfill the two types of accumulation of merit and accumulation of insight or wisdom. So we talked about that also. And then Domtapa also said that in every possible ways one should try to purify one's negativities. Of course, we cannot emphasize enough the importance of doing that, purifying our negativities. As Shakyamuni Buddha himself said, never accumulate any negativity, always accumulate the wealth of positive actions or virtue.
Oh, that's it. That ring the, that the Gyawa Gwadari, that thing, kick leg. True, Tom Kays, Kosu Mimipi.
So what we will talk about today is Great Domtapa's statement regarding dedication practice, and he brings into this how we need to reflect on the emptiness nature of all the things involved in our practice.
So
So let me first, translate more technically what Dumdumba has said, and then translate the explanation given on that. Dumdumba said that when we do our practice, make sure that we are reflecting on what is called the three, factors as being empty or unapprehendable dealing with phenomena. I told you it's technical. So now what that means is, let me give you a specific example in this case. Say we are, accumulating merit. Okay, so our practice is the accumulation of merit. And this involves what we call the three factors or elements. We as practitioner, we are the agent, doing this practice. So what we are doing, which is accumulating merit, our practice, and why we are doing it, for whatever reason we are doing it. So these are called the three circles, literally translating, korsum, okay, three elements, or the three circles don't work well in English here. So three elements and agent. So each of this is, does not exist from its own side. Okay, nothing exists objectively here, which means that I, as an agent or a practitioner here, do not exist objectively in and of myself. What I'm practicing, accumulating merit, does not exist in and of itself. And why I am accumulating merit, the purpose, does not exist in and of itself. So therefore, everything involved in my practice of accumulation is empty of objective or inherent existence. So what I've just explained with regard to accumulation practice, that principle, if you will, the principle of emptiness, it applies to all phenomena. So when we say phenomena, what we really mean is everything that exists. You see, everything existent, is a phenomenon. Okay? If something exists, that it cannot exist in and of itself.
So
So we could be doing any practice. Okay, let me take this example of out of the seven limp or 7-point practice, yanla tumba in Tibetan, is the limp or prostration. Okay, so if we are doing this as a practice, prostration is our practice, then what we really need to consider, reflect upon is that we as the practitioner, prostrator, if there's no such word, just let's make one, right? One who is doing the prostration, prostrator, is, empty of inherent existence. And merit or virtue that we accumulate through prostration, our practice, also is empty of inherent existence. And to whom we are prostrating to, you see, our objects of refuge or whatever, they are also empty of inherent existence. So therefore, everything lacks objective or inherent
existence.
So when we talk about emptiness, especially how even say as holy as an enlightened being or beings are emptiness or empty of inherent existence, then some people really have a difficulty. They think, how can that be? They're really transcendental. Well, you're diminishing the importance. If Buddha's empty, well, that makes no sense in the first place, right? And then they feel like we are undermining the power and the compassion and the wisdom of the Buddha, because if they're emptiness, what, I think that's something because we don't understand what emptiness is here. But saying that enlightened beings are also empty of inherent existence, in no way we are undermining who they are and their compassion and their wisdom. In the Pranjana Paramita Sutras, sutras dealing with wisdom gone beyond, you see, there are many volumes. And the language of the Pranjana Paramita is that from the forms to the omniscient state. Now, this is the way to capture everything that exists. This is from the form, soup, to the omniscient wisdom, namkin, everything lacks inherent existence. And then, you know, someone, you know, specifically asked Buddha, really, is omniscient wisdom or namkin empty of inherent existence? Is that so? And Buddha said, sure. Not only that, if there's something that exists beyond the omniscient wisdom or above, so to speak, you know, that also has to be empty of inherent existence. So I hope you understood how to reflect on the emptiness nature as we do, for example, prostration as our practice. So now, when we look at the seven limb or seven point practice, first is the prostration. The second is offering. Okay. Now, if we are going to do offering practice, we as the one who is making offering, practitioner, we lack inherent existence. What is being offered? We call offering substances. Chibetze. What is being offered? It could be flowers. It could be cookies. It could be butter lamps or candle lights or whatever is being offered. Offering substance lack inherent existence. And to whom we offer them, they also lack inherent existence. So this is how we reflect upon the lack of inherent existence or objective existence of all the things involved in offering practice. So basically what we're saying is if we have displayed these offerings of all kind, there is appearance of offerings, no doubt, right? So although we have the appearances of offerings, but in reality, they do not exist in and of themselves. So we are offering things which appear to our perceptions, but which lack inherent existence. So we must not confuse this lack of inherent existence as being the same as non-existence, okay, complete non-existence or absence of existence. So we are offering food, we are offering flowers, we are offering music, or we are offering light, whatever. And we are reflecting on how each of these offerings lack inherent existence. So with that kind of understanding of emptiness, we are offering those things. But that does not mean we are kind of conjuring in our mind things don't exist at all, right? And we just kind of in a sort of imaginative world, the things never existed, we kind of create in the mind, we are offering them to the Buddhas. We are not doing that. Okay, so lack of inherent existence is not the same as non-existence.
And
And then there is the confession practice in the seven limbs, right? Shakva, or purification, sometimes we translate it. So what we are trying to do is purify any kind of negativities we have already accumulated and what we are accumulating now. Okay. Let's take a specific example here. It is the negativity of killing. Okay. So what does the negativity of killing involve? The doer of the action or the killer, okay, that could be ourselves, and the act of killing, you know, and then the one that's being killed, the victim, okay, the animal or the person or whatever is being killed. So all of this, each of these elements of the whole thing lacks inherent existence. But we as killer or doer of the action do not exist in and of ourselves. Our act of killing the poor victim lacks inherent existence, and the victim who loses the life here also lacks inherent existence.
So the point I'm
trying to make here is, you know, we have to differentiate between lack of inherent existence and non-existence, right? We accept that there is the doer of the action, there is the action, there is the one acted upon, right? All those things exist, but what we are saying is that they do not exist objectively.
No.
So in terms of purification or confession practice, now we can think in terms of we as the practitioner who are confessing, right? Here's my new word, confessor. You know, we are confessing here. So what we are confessing here, all the negativities we have done, and in the presence of whom we are confessing it, right, the Buddhas and holy beings, that all of us, do not exist objectively. So in the seven limb practice, we find the practice of appreciation or rejoicing, chesu yiran. And we could rejoice in any positive actions, right, that we ourselves have done in the past, that we are doing now, that we will do in the future. And same thing we can do in other people's virtues as well. So that's where we talk about the virtues of the three times. And so in this case also, so we are the ones who are rejoicing, and we are rejoicing in the positive actions of both ourselves and others, right? So ourselves and others are involved because these are the objects of reference. So all of us, all of these things involved, again, do not exist objectively or in and of themselves.
And then in
the seven limb practice, we have the practice of requesting Buddhas and gurus and Buddhas to teach, to turn the wheel of Dharma. Yeah. So in this also, we are the ones who are making requests here. We are the, supplicating them. And so then the teachings we are requesting them to give, and the giver of the teachings, it could be gurus or the Buddhas, right? So all of us, all the things involved here, again, do not exist objectively.
Right.
And then in the seven limb practice, we have a supplication practice, which means we are supplicating gurus and Buddhas and holy beings not to pass away so soon, okay, in our sleep for a long time, benefiting sentient beings. And so we're requesting them that for the sake of Dharma, for the sake of sentient beings, please live as long as possible. Okay. So again, we are the ones who are making that supplication, and what is being supplicated, you know, requesting them to live long, and then those who are accepting our request, gurus and holy beings and the Buddhas, so all of, you know, us here, again, lack objective existence.
No, no. That is the thing, what are you? That is the thing,
And then the last, you know, limp is that of dedication. Okay? So again, we are the ones who are doing dedication practice. What is being dedicated? Virtues of merit. And for what reason we do the dedication, or our goal that we're connecting our dedication with, so each of these things, you know, lacks inherent existence or objective existence.
So that thing,
so it doesn't matter what kind of a phenomenon we are dealing with, in terms of emptiness, they're all just the same. There's no difference in terms of emptiness of this phenomenon and that phenomenon. Okay, emptiness is emptiness, you know. But we need to understand that the basis upon which we establish emptiness, okay, that base phenomena could be different, right? Phenomena are different from one another, but as far as the emptiness nature is concerned, it's just the same. So when we hear the statement or read about the statement in Buddhist literature where it says that all phenomena have the same taste of emptiness, right? And then some people think, okay, that means all phenomena are just same. Well, then we get into weird position. So now we are denying the existence of right and wrong, good and bad, you know. So it means we're putting all the dirty and clean things all in the same pot. And so, okay, they're all same. There's no such thing as dirty and cleanliness, you know. So we don't want to do that. You know, when we say that all phenomena have the same taste of emptiness, it does not mean that all phenomena are just the same. So we cannot, do that. Okay, all phenomena have the same taste, so therefore I'm going to put, you know, dirty things into my mouth, you know. So, I mean, if somebody claims like, you know what, I have realized the emptiness, so nothing matters, you know, I can eat anything, you know, all the yucky things and, you know, filthy things I can put in the mouth and just kind of try to do that in front of the public. So that's wrong, you know, just drinking like hell, just making such claim. And, so drinking like hell is the alcohol, by the way, not milk. So that, you know, so that's all wrong. So sometimes we do find people who seems to, you know, take it such easy stand. I mean, emptiness is, you know, not a big deal. It's easy to understand. It's just like that, you know, in a split of your, you know, snapping the finger, you can realize it.
That's
So I wonder, you know, what is their understanding of emptiness? It could be that now in their mind they deny the existence of everything, including the houses they live in and all the things they have, you know.
Everything
doesn't exist at all. So it's like, you know, almost thinking emptiness like an empty space, you know, so then nothing exists there, you know. Well, in the Buddhist literature, I mean, space or namka is used as an example to talk about emptiness. We say, you know, emptiness is like space, but we really don't mean in any sense that emptiness and space are just the same, okay? Because when we look at the basis or the phenomena upon which emptiness is established, we can find a variety of phenomena. Okay, they're all the same. So the point I'm trying to make here is all of us really need to be very cautious, in our approach to understand emptiness, because many people do get it wrong, you see, what emptiness is. It is stated that the concept of emptiness is very difficult to understand, but if you don't get it, you know, because it's difficult, then you will never be liberated. So again, you know, to realize what emptiness is, we really need to do a lot of what we call meditation, right? It's not something we can learn, you know, theoretically and then intellectually or talk about it, you know, or listen to it. It's something we really need to meditate upon and realize it through our meditation. So once a great Indian master so it was a great Domtenpa who asked his teacher Atisha. In Tibet, there are many people who claim these days that they have realized emptiness, but they are so biased, you know, so attached to stuff, and so like, deluded and angry. So what is that all about? Great Adisha said, you know what? Because their understanding of emptiness is just a lip service. You know, they really didn't understand emptiness. So one could make a false claim that I have realized emptiness, but that does not mean, making a claim does not make that one has realized emptiness. So Atisha was saying it is just a lip service they're paying to emptiness, because if they are so attached and, you know, discriminatory and angry and all that, so that shows there's no understanding of emptiness. So how do we dedicate our merit? According to Domtenpa, whatever merits or virtues that we have accumulated, we need to share it with the sentient beings. And how do we do that is that we, you know, dedicate our merit to accomplish enlightened state for the sake of sentient beings. So that's how we are sharing our merit with sentient beings. And here, Domtenpa tells the two cousins that if you do all those things I just spoke, about, then you really don't have to feel sad or distressed or agonizing over things that, oh, we never met the great Atisha. You know, you don't have to feel sad or distressed about that.
San jibra shevala chue tele tele mesta kondi kibe kalin namba tuzu churanzo yabu jubi yina rang san jiya ke ne chue tele ta ngay churanzo pa kibat nangyi ta tele lakwa mesung ta.
And he also said that if you were to put into practice correctly what I said or taught you, then there's nothing else outside that, you know, that you need to practice as a method to reach Buddhahood. Because everything I said is there, that will lead to Buddhahood.
She knows it, huh? Jesus, I'm drum gipo tang, manche nyambe, nyangi sha magu, chue tele me sung, huh? Kanji, yuza ane gipo tang, drum taba kong, kong nyangi lim devi yina, chorangi devi yina, tang drum gipo, karasi, drum de javi juni, ata kya sung, te, jesu, nyaga maris, and sinti shogu maris,
And if you were to follow my advice, then you also don't need to worry that in the future, you may not meet with the old Dom Thenpa. You know, I might get old and die, you see, in your absence or whatever, but you don't need to feel sad or agonize over that. Because, in terms of what need to put into practice, I have said everything.
Yeah, that's what Dom Thenpa said. So
So based upon what Great Dom Thenpa told the two cousins there, what we can also make out is, in our case also, if we were to put into practice the teachings properly, then we really don't have to also feel sad about that we never met Dom Thenpa, we never met Atisha, we never met Buddha, we never met many of the great Indian Buddhist masters or other holy beings, So, if we are to put into practice what they taught us, then we really don't need to be so much concerned and worry about those things.
Sanje kyamde de jaba mangbo yores. Jaba thangi de na sung jaba de chod jaba yinska na yores.
Shakyamuni Buddha, or for that matter, any Buddha could perform the many amazing, what we call, actions or deeds. But of course, the most important and the beneficial action of any Buddha is that of giving the Dharma teaching. Jerumbuche or Lama Tsongkhapa, in his amazing praise to Buddha called In Praise of Relativity or Dependent Arising, said, Zabakule Tsungini, of all your deeds, you meaning Buddha, so your speech or your teaching is the supreme deed, is the most important deed. So we will stop there today, and I have a few announcements to make and some prayer requests. Next week, and Geshe-la will be in Colorado teaching there. So in his absence, Venerable Tenzin Khajur will be teaching Tonglen practice, the practice of giving and taking.
Okay.
So Geshe-la would like all of you to come to the teachings. So then the next announcement is Milarepa film. It will be shown on September 21st at West Los Angeles theater called, I'm not going to say this word right, NUART. How do you say that? North Theater. Yeah, North Theater. And on September 23rd, there will be reception of the director of the movie, Milarepa, and he will be doing some presentation of that, and everybody is welcome. It will be on September 23rd at the Vietnamese major newspaper called Viet Bao. And then... Am I missing anything in between here, the lines?
The movie's actually playing now.
Okay, so the movie is playing now, so I guess the timing is the movie time, whatever you go that time. I don't have information here. Please see Anne Tenzin Culture if anybody wants to participate in that walk on October 6th in Long Beach to benefit Long Beach Memorial Medical Center to fight breast and ovarian cancer. Anela has got the registration forms, right, so you need to fill that in. Or you can make just a donation, you know, if you can't walk. And what else do I have? Okay, that's it. Oh, sorry, prayer request. Prayers are requested for June Pelagetti, Mary Joe Hoover, and Rain Wolf.
Mm. Yeah. Jauh ini nak bercakap, tinggi siapa tambah ni cukup siapa tambah tu, tujuh ini tu tambah ini tu yang mana? Kau sini ke show paman ni, kau ni siapa ni? Insan dan robot. Jadi jangan dah dah kian tu, mesti begitu tu dah kian ni, tujuh ini tu dah memang ini tu yang mana?
Let us dedicate our marriage for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. By the power of our collective marriage, may His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy beings live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
Ona dona magin singi tamji dunis niwale thone sanji ji komporom boi tobi jurjuji.
Last but not least, we dedicate our marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Jesus,
Thank you.